Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-21, 2011.com with another study in the book of Revelation. We are on chapter 6. This study, we will cover verses 12 and 13. I'll begin by reading the verses and then go into an introduction and then take each verse one by one and end with a summary and conclusion. Well, let's begin by reading the two verses. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken by a mighty wind. In this study of Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 through 13, we look at the opening of the sixth seal. With the opening of this sixth seal, we will find that there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. What does all this mean? Does it mean there was a physical great earthquake, and that the sun physically became black, and the moon physically became blood, and the stars physically fell onto the earth? And when will or did all these things take place? Furthermore, what exactly is the significance that the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell? Even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. The answers to these questions and more we will discover in this study. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ grant to us the power and authority to see what we need to see and to hear what we need to hear, all to the glory of the Father and to the Son and through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's begin by looking at our first verse, verse 12 of Revelation 6. Let me read that verse once again. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. In this verse, the Apostle John begins by saying, And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. The he who had opened the sixth seal, of course, was the Lamb, namely the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that it was said that he opened the sixth seal, reveals that it was he who brought the sixth seal about in history. So let's always keep in mind that Christ has always been in complete control of his salvation plan throughout history, and in this case, he was in complete control of what was revealed upon his opening the sixth seal. But now John continues. And lo, there was a great earthquake. The word translated as lo is literally translated as the command, be perceiving. So that our verse reads, And be perceiving, there was a great earthquake. This command, be perceiving, is a command to be alert, tune in, pay attention. Yes, be perceiving. There was a great earthquake. And because there was a great earthquake, we should be alerted to something important. Yet what is it that we should be alerted to? When we realize that the earthquakes originate from the fallen state of the creation as a result of the judgment which had come upon Adam and Eve for having eaten the forbidden fruit, a great earthquake should remind us of God's judgment upon the world. And so when we read, there was a great earthquake, we are being told that there was a great judgment upon the world. We can see that the term great earthquake is synonymous with judgment in such a verse as Revelation 11, where we read in verse 13, "And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven." Clearly, in this verse, the great earthquake is associated with judgment. And again, we read in Revelation 16, verses 18 and 19, "And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came into remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath." Here also we see that a great earthquake is synonymous with judgment. Thus, when we read in our verse that there was a great earthquake, we can know that there was a great judgment. It does not mean that there was a literal earthquake, as the book of Revelation is wrought in symbolism, but it does mean that there was great judgment, as symbolized by a earthquake. Exactly what judgment it refers to, we will learn as we continue further in our verse. Well, let's continue further in our verse in Revelation chapter 6. It reads, "And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth." This is very similar language to what we read in, or what we read in Matthew chapter 24, which states in verse 29, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." And similarly, we read in Isaiah chapter 13, verse 10, "For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine." And again, in Joel chapter 2, verse 10, "The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining." What judgment are all these verses describing? We can know the answer to this question because Matthew chapter 24, verse 29 says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven." The tribulation of those days being described here in Matthew chapter 24 is the spiritual great tribulation. So we are being told that immediately after the great tribulation was when the sun was darkened, and the moon no longer gave her light, and the stars fell from heaven. And since we know that according to the proven biblical timeline of history that you can click on and see, that the Great Tribulation ended on May 21, 2011, when Judgment Day began, we know that May 21, 2011 is when the sun was darkened, and when the moon would not give her light, and when the stars fell from heaven. And furthermore, since our verse in Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, which states, "And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth," is basically saying the same thing as Matthew chapter 24, verse 29, which revealed that those things would take place when? Immediately after the tribulation of those days. That is, immediately after the great tribulation. We know that our verse in Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, must be describing the same judgment that came upon all the churches in the world on May 21, 2011, Judgment Day. Hence, we can know with complete certainty that the judgment being described in our verses of Revelation 6, verses 12 all the way through verse 17, took place immediately after the tribulation of those days, which the biblical calendar reveals to have been on May 21, 2011. But now, what does it mean that the sun became black as sackcloth of hair and the moon became as blood on May 21, 2011? This is very similar to what Matthew 24, verse 29 stated, namely, that the sun shall be darkened. Both verses agree that they are both teaching, and they are both teaching that the sun became darkened or black on May 21, 2011. Obviously, this is spiritual language. For the sun to be darkened or made black means that it is no longer shining forth its light. Yet what does the sun symbolize in the Bible? When we look up the word sun in the Bible, we find that the sun symbolizes God, who is Christ. First, we are told right out in Psalm 84, verse 11, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield." And in Malachi chapter 4, we read in verse 2, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." Notice here how the Son of Righteousness, who obviously refers to Christ, is spelled Son, S-U-N, of Righteousness. Thus teaching us that the sun symbolizes Christ. And remember, when Christ was transfigured, we read in Matthew 17, verse 2, "And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light." Then, in Revelation, we find several verses that clearly identify Christ with the sun. In speaking of Christ, we read in Revelation 1, verse 16, "And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shines in his strength." And again, we read of Christ in Revelation 10, verse 1, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire." So in all these verses, we find that we are on solid ground to see the sun, S-U-N, as symbolizing Christ. And now we can begin to understand our verse, which states, "And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair." Since the sun represents Christ, our verse is telling us that Christ is no longer shining forth his light to the world ever since May 21, 2011. To put it another way, Christ is no longer saving anyone ever since May 21, 2011. Oh yes, the churches are still proclaiming the words of the Bible, but the Holy Spirit is no longer applying those words to the hearts of the people unto eternal salvation. Yes, the spiritual light of the gospel has been darkened or made black, so that no one is being eternally saved, for judgment has come. It has come both upon all the churches as well as upon the world, immediately after the tribulation of those days, Matthew 24:29, which we know, according to the biblical timeline of history, that is well proven, and you can click on the link to find all the proofs and evidence. We know that it is well proven to have been on May 21, 2011, the day that was immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now, why does God say through John that the sun became black as sackcloth of hair? In the Bible, it is common knowledge that sackcloth represents mourning, as it was a cloth worn by those who were in mourning. For instance, we read in Genesis 37, verse 34, and Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. Notice how that Jacob's putting on of sackcloth was for the mourning of his son. And again, we read in Isaiah 22, verse 12, and in that day did the Lord God of hosts call to weeping and to mourning and to baldness and to girding with sackcloth. Once again, we see that the putting on of sackcloth is associated with weeping or mourning. Then we read in Psalm 30, verse 11, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Notice how this verse equates mourning with sackcloth and dancing with gladness. And there are many other verses in the Bible that clearly identify sackcloth with mourning. But if sackcloth represents mourning, which it does, what does sackcloth of hair represent? In the Bible, hair was given to the woman as a covering to symbolize that she is under the authority of man. We read of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'm going to read verses 3 through 15 to give us a good understanding or context of what's being described. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, for that is even all as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, forasmuch as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power, and that word power is probably better translated here as authority, on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. You see, because the woman was created to be under the authority of man, remember we had previously read in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 3 that the head of every man is Christ, but the head of the woman is the man. She was, in general, given much more hair on her head than man to symbolize his authority over her. Thus, her long hair was given to her as a covering to reveal that she's under the authority of man. And so when she prays or prophesies, she should remain under man's authority. That is, she should not usurp the authority over the man when she prays or prophesies, which in the church service meant that she was to be completely silent. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34. But outside the church service, it means that the woman should never speak over or above the brother who is praying or prophesying, but fully respect his authority in the Lord with all submission and chastity of behavior. Well, let's get back to our verse, which states, "And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair." Now we can begin to understand, I think, what we are being taught. Since we found that sackcloth represents mourning and hair represents authority, as we had learned that the long hair on a woman represents that she is under authority, that the sun became black as sackcloth of hair represents that the light of Christ, or the light of salvation, the sun, became no more ever since May 21, 2011. And as this black or dark period is described as sackcloth of hair, represents that it is a time of mourning that is under authority. Whose authority? Well, of course, the authority of God. That is, ever since Judgment Day began, it is a time of mourning because no one can any longer be eternally saved. Nevertheless, we should recognize that it all came about by God's authority, to which we should submit so that we can stand up and proclaim it in the full authority of Yahweh Himself. Now finally, the last sentence of our verse says, "And the moon became as blood." What does the moon represent? We read in Genesis 1, verse 16, "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also." The greater light to rule the day, of course, refers to the sun, while the lesser light to rule the night refers to the moon. As we learned previously in our study, the sun symbolizes Christ, and in that he rules over the day symbolizes that he rules over the kingdom of light. And if the sun is a picture of Christ ruling over the kingdom of light, then the moon must be a picture of Satan, who rules over the kingdom of night or darkness. Thus we can see how the moon can symbolize Satan himself. Yet the moon can also symbolize the law of God, for just as the moon naturally reflects the sun in the night, so also does the law of God naturally reflect the sun, that is, the Son of God, in the night. That is, it reveals that all are sinners in darkness, and so are in need of the sun, Christ, the light. We can further see that the moon symbolizes the law of God in such a verse as Jeremiah chapter 31, where we read in verse 35, "Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divides the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name." Notice that it is the Lord who gives the ordinances of the moon by night. The word ordinances can just as well be translated as laws. So it is the Lord who gives the laws of the moon by night. And what are the laws of the moon by night? Why, they are the laws of God. Thus we can begin to see how the moon can symbolize the law of God. But now our verse continues. "And the moon became as blood." We have learned that the moon can symbolize either Satan or the law of God, but what does blood symbolize? Well, since our verse is set in the context of judgment, we know that blood symbolizes death. For instance, when Yahweh brought judgment upon Egypt because they would not let the Israelites go, he turned the waters and rivers into blood, which resulted in death to all the fish and the creatures that lived in the waters. We read of this in Exodus chapter 7, verses 20 through 21, which reads, "And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river and in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank. And the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river. And there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt." Thus we see clearly that a judgment of blood brings death, so that blood has become synonymous with death. Of course, the blood in our bodies is what gives us life, but the blood drained from our bodies would result in death, so that the blood would represent our death. Indeed, it is just common sense to realize that blood can symbolize or represent death, and it is common knowledge that in the Bible, blood symbolizes death when found in the context of judgment. Now, since the blood in our verse symbolizes death, and the moon can symbolize the law of God, when we read, "And the moon became as blood," we are being taught that the law of God became as death ever since May 21 on 2011. That is, the law can no longer reflect the sun, the light of Christ, in the night, because the sun has been made black or darkened, so that the moon has become as blood. That is, it has become death. The law now simply condemns to death, as it states that the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, and all have sinned, Romans 3:23, so that all must now die. Indeed, the law has become nothing but death. For the day of God's wrath has come. Weep and howl, for the day of salvation has come to an end on May 21, 2011. Moving on to verse 13 of Revelation 6, verse 13, it reads, "And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind." Here we continue in the context of judgment on May 21, 2011, and we read, "And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth." What are the stars of heaven? They couldn't be literal stars, or we would have seen them falling from heaven on May 21, 2011. So what are they? When we search the Bible, we read in Genesis 15, verses 4 through 5, "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him," that is unto Abram, "saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars," that is the stars of heaven, "if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be." In other words, the stars of heaven are being compared to being the seed of Abram. We see this also in Genesis 22, where we read in verses 15 through 18, "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Notice how Abraham's seed here is compared to being as the stars of heaven. That is, the stars of heaven represent the seed of Abraham. Yet who is the seed of Abraham? We discover the answer to this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, where we read, "Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made." He says, "Not and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." So we are told by this verse that the seed of Abraham is Christ. But then we also read in Galatians 3, verse 29, "And if you be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So, Christ is the seed of Abraham, and those who belong to Christ, who are all those who were saved in Christ by May 21, 2011, are Abraham's seed as well. And now we can conclude as to the meaning to the stars of heaven. The stars of heaven represent the seed of Abraham, which refers to Christ and all those who are saved in Christ Jesus, namely the elect. Also, we can now begin to understand our verse when it states that the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. It is saying that Christ and the elect fell unto the earth. Yet, what is the significance of Christ and the elect having fell unto the earth? Listen to what we read in two parallel passages to our verses in Revelation 6:12-13. We read in Joel 2, verse 10, "The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining." And again, in another parallel verse, we read in Ezekiel 32, verse 7, "And when I shall put thee out, I will cover the heaven and make the stars thereof dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light." Both of these verses are speaking about the same thing as our verse in Revelation chapter 6, 12 through 13. But notice that they do not say that the stars fell unto the earth, but they say in Joel 2, verse 10, "The stars shall withdraw their shining." And in Ezekiel 32, verse 7, "I will cover the heaven and make the stars thereof dark." In other words, Joel and Ezekiel speak of the stars, that they withdrew their shining, or simply that they became dark. While our verse in Revelation 6, verse 13 says, "And the stars fell unto the earth." From these comparisons, we can conclude that when our verse says that the stars fell unto the earth, the significance of this is that the stars no longer are shining forth their light because they fell to the earth. So ever since May 21, 2011, the stars are no longer shining their light, and this is what it means that the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. Their light, of course, refers to Christ, the gospel of eternal salvation. We read in John chapter 8, verse 12, "Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And again we read in John chapter 12, verse 46, "I, Christ, am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Thus, Christ is the light of the world, but if Christ and the elect are no longer giving their light, it means that they are no longer shining forth eternal salvation to the world, which means that salvation has ended for the entire unsaved world ever since the day of Yahweh began on May 21, 2011. Well, the last part of our verse says, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. In order to better understand this verse, we need to know that the fig tree symbolizes. We need to know what the fig tree symbolizes, that is. And when we look up fig tree everywhere in the Bible to discover what it represents, we come upon a particularly revealing verse in Hosea chapter 9. It reads in verse 10, I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time. But they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves unto that shame, and their abominations were according as they loved. Now, if Yahweh says that he saw your fathers, that is the early fathers, as the first ripe figs in the fig tree, and the context is clearly that of describing Israel, for the verse begins, I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness, then the first ripe figs in the fig tree must refer to the first ripe figs in Israel. Thus we learn that the fig tree symbolizes the nation of Israel, which makes perfect sense when we plug it into other fig tree accounts, such as the account found in Luke 13. There we read in verses 6 through 9, He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree, that is the nation of Israel, planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, that is, I come seeking fruit in the nation of Israel, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. In this parable, the certain man who came to seek fruit on his fig tree, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to earth and sought fruit on the fig tree that is in the nation of Israel during the 3.5 years of his earthly ministry from 29 AD to 33 AD when he died. But he found none, because the nation of Israel as a whole rejected him as their Messiah. So the owner, Christ, said to cut the fig tree, that is the nation of Israel, cut it down. Yet the caretaker pleaded of him to leave it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And then if it still doesn't bear fruit, then cut it down. So the fig tree, that is the nation of Israel, has been left to see if it will bear fruit. That is, if it will come to faith in Christ as their Messiah. But when Christ spiritually returned for judgment on May 21, 2011, the nation of Israel still had not bore any fruit. So now they have been spiritually cut down because it is no longer possible for the nation as a whole to come to faith in Christ Jesus, which means that the nation is certain to perish on the last day when it is cast into the lake of fire. Another fig tree parable is recorded in Matthew 21, where we read in verses 18 through 19, Now in the morning, as he, Jesus, returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree, that is the nation of Israel, in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. In this parable, we see that Christ cursed the fig tree, that is the nation of Israel, by saying that they would never bear fruit forever, which told us that the nation of Israel would never come to faith in Christ as their Messiah. And indeed, even to this day, the nation of Israel does not accept Christ as their Messiah. Oh yes, there has been a remnant of individuals throughout history who are of Israel that have come to faith in Christ, but as a whole nation, they still reject Christ as their Savior, which is exactly what Christ told us would be the case close to 2,000 years ago. Of course, there are mainline teachings that say that Israel still has a big day coming when the whole nation will turn to Christ and be saved. And of course, that's a false teaching, because Christ clearly taught us, or completely cursed the fig tree, the nation of Israel, forever, so it will never happen. Anyway, so what does our verse mean when it says, "And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she was shaken of a mighty wind"? Well, we already learned that the stars of heaven falling to the earth means that they are no longer shining forth their light to the world. And since we found that the stars of heaven represent Christ and the elect, this means that the Christ and the elect are no longer shining forth the light of Christ unto eternal salvation ever since the date we learned to be May 21, 2011. So no longer is anyone becoming eternally saved through the witness of Christ and the elect ever since May 21, 2011, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. That is, even as judgment has come as symbolized by the mighty wind, nevertheless, the nation of Israel has no timely or ripe fruit, but only untimely or unripe fruit that have been cast away. In other words, just as Jesus taught that the nation of Israel would never produce fruit or come to faith in Jesus Christ, so we see that it has still not come to faith in Christ by the time of Judgment Day on May 21, 2011. Thus, the nation of Israel has now been spiritually cut down with absolutely no hope of becoming eternally saved, and it is guaranteed to be cast into the lake of fire on the last day. Howl, O rebellious nation, for your time has finally come. Now, before ending this study, we should consider that the nation of Israel was a type or figure of the New Testament local churches and congregations. And so when we are told that the nation of Israel had no good fruit come Judgment Day on May 21, 2011, it is also telling us that all the churches also had no good fruit come Judgment Day on May 21, 2011. And we know why this is, because all the good fruit obeyed Christ's command to depart out from all the churches long ago, because judgment came upon them all beginning in 1988, which left only bad fruit to remain in all the churches who are now being bundled for the fire, just as the nation of Israel is being bundled for the fire on the last day, when they will all be cast into the lake of fire. Well, let's end our study. In this study, we looked at the opening of the sixth seal in Revelation 6, verses 12 through 13, and we found that none of it was to be taken physically, that there was a great earthquake symbolized that judgment had come, and that the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, symbolized the time of mourning even ever since May 21, 2011, when by God's authority, the light of Christ was put out to end any further possibility of anyone ever becoming eternally saved. And then we also learned that the moon became as blood on May 21, 2011. This meant that with no more eternal salvation possible, The law could no longer lead anyone to eternal salvation in Christ, but it could only judge them to death for their sins. And then finally, we also learned that the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. This meant that ever since May 21, 2011, the stars of heaven, namely Christ and the elect, are no longer spiritually shining their light unto eternal salvation, which means that no one can any longer become eternally saved through their witness of the light, Jesus Christ. And in that we are told that the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind, taught us that no one can any longer become eternally saved, even as national Israel can no longer be saved, since by Judgment Day on May 21, 2011, national Israel had not produced any timely or good fruit. She still rejects Christ as her Messiah and Savior, and she always will, even as Christ had foretold some 2,000 years ago. Now with that, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be most gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace.